Ms. Guthrie's reel. This is Ms. Guthrie's reel. This is beginning of Channel 1 Right. This is beginning of Channel 1 Right. Last week we made that remarkable first visit over there and the tape wasn't too good. And then yesterday, that was Wednesday the 13th of August, 69, I wanted to call on Ms. Guthrie and get her to talk some more. And I also wanted to try out this new system. Now, I had taped an hour or so in the morning over Ms. Patterson's. Now, just a little tired. So I stretched a little bit after lunch and then Nick and I tried out our system. And he said the tone was clear. And I called her, and Marvin was on his way to Hawthorne to get a sack of pellets to lure his cows up to test them a little bit today. I said, was she going with him? She said, no. Well, that was a mistake. I said, wait till he got back. I always impulsive. So she was out in the back when we drove up, and I thought we'd just stand there and talk a little bit. But he said she didn't like to stand up, and she made us come in and set us down in the dining room at the table. The refrigerator was going all the time, right at us. And then Nick went out and checked, and he said there was an echo in the room. So that was discouraging. We talked about odds and ends and about this awful weather for hay. I brought up that picnic and the all that she had talked about two summers ago. I had forgotten the circumstances of it, but Faye remembered after so long a time that they had sent her some guests to stay in her house, and she didn't take the cap on. Yes, she said she'd been to a gospel sing, and she liked it. Then it came out. She said when Louise Graham was the first person she talked to when she planned to get married again, and that Louise encouraged it, and she also managed the wedding and took part in it. The thing was so low-key, I didn't realize what I had, and I told Nick that wasn't any good, and we'd just tape over it. So not much is left. We went to the store and taped a little bit. There's not any count. Not much is left of it, just up to where she brings up the color pictures of the wedding and then makes one or two statements about Louise Graham. And her preacher, the church she goes to is in Rochelle. I didn't know that. But the preacher wanted them to marry in the church at Citra. So they had a church wedding. Yes, so they had a church wedding. And Louise Graham was bridesmaid, and she decorated the church. And then they went over to Louise's house after the wedding. I understood it to say they spent the night there. And then the next day they went to Louise's river house, a house on the Suwannee River. And she said that was one fine house. And it had everything in it a person could, a body could want. And the steps went right down to the river, and Louise had a boat. And she said they had a key to it, and they could go there any time they wanted to. And then she showed us some pictures. Now, this first picture is decorating that old Ford car, and they got three rolls of toilet paper. Just look at that.
Had three rolls of toilet paper. And they had that thing rolled all over, so, and I bet they had that much rice in it. All up on the dashboard and all in the seat. We never did get it out.
Yeah.
And this is us leaving the church.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And this is some of our pictures.
Church. Well, now, these are different pictures.
Made different cameras. I think Mr. Dodd took those.
Oh. Yeah, see these? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I believe a little more light in those.
Mm-hmm.
These was made in the church. I think all the lights was out but the candle lights.
Mm-hmm. That's nice too. Yeah. Now that's not the same one you had before.
Yeah. Now, Marilyn's husband, I think, taking these. I know he did.
Yes, well, I'm glad to see those. Yes, that's beautiful. Yes, sir. Every now and then you can just get your pictures out and recollect all those things that went on.
Well, there's one thing about it. I never have had anything beautiful in my life but that. But I really had pretty flowers.
Yeah.
A lot of friends.
Yeah.
They sure was a lot of people.
And Louise.
Now, here's some we made.
And Louise put a hand in it?
Oh, yeah. Louise was one of my bridesmaids. And, And now, there's Marvin and I. That's in black and white.
Yes.
And here we are.
I believe the black and white's clearer than the color.
Uh-huh. There's a little church we
oh,
made.
Oh, look at that.
At.
Yes. Yes. That's a nice little church. Look at that.
There's Marilyn. What's his name down there at Evingston? This is my brother, and this is Marvin's sister, and this is old Polly Smith.
You see that?
Here we are.
Say that again.
Marilyn, that runs the beauty shop down there.
What's her name? I forget.
Oh, heck, I can't think of
Marilyn
it.
And...
And that's Polly Smith in Gainesville. Friend of mine. She was one of the bridesmaids. This is Marvin's sister.
Oh.
And this is my brother.
Uh-huh. And your brother lives in Cross City.
That's right. Now here's the wedding group. This is my little preacher that married me.
Yeah, let's see him. Yes?
He has my old 59 Ford.
Uh-huh. Oh, that, this is that Louise?
Louise. And this is Louise.
And this is the other girl.
Polly Smith.
Polly Smith. Wow.
This is just our hands.
Yeah. Hey, that's nice.
Me feeding Marvin some more cake.
Yeah.
This is the old Ford. We drove it through Micanopy the next day. See, we left the church house. And went to Louise's. We didn't tell nobody what we was going to do.
Uh-huh.
But there's a crowd laying way in far south there.
Oh.
And Curtis and was going to stay and take care of Cindy and the place. They was going to get us when we got home.
Yeah.
So I got Louise and I had it already planned up. She has a beautiful place down on the Water River. So we went and drove the old car right on to her house and parked it. And we got in her car and we went to Swanee River.
Well, what do you know?
She took us to Swanee River. We didn't come back till the next evening.
Now, she's got a beautiful place down on the Swanee River.
I mean, steps right and goes right down to the water. She's got a place.
Is that right?
So we went down there, Louise and I and Martin and spent the night next day down there.
Well, bless my
I can go down there anytime I want to. I got the key to it. Go down there anytime I want to and stay a week.
Well, can you take your friends?
Sure.
we might talk up a trip sometime.
She has a lovely place down there.
Well, what do you mean lovely? Kind of like
she's got a big nice home and has everything anybody would need in it.
Just like she lives in there?
That's right. And she's got a big, nice boat. She's got a camper.
She has.
She's got everything that anybody would want.
So she can just go over there anytime she wants to?
She can go anytime she wants to, stay as long as she pleases.
And nothing holding her down?
That's right. We went over there not long ago and had a big supper.
Well, why don't you all get the word out sometime? I would love to listen to the talk that goes on.
Well, you just talk to us, Wesley. I mean, we really had a time. It was on her birthday.
Yeah.
And I don't remember when it was. I believe it was in June or the 1st of July. And we went down there, and I cooked a big cake, and I cooked a chicken parlor, and I took it, and we went down there, and I mean, we had a time. People from Jacksonville, Palatka, Micanopy, and all around was there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, she really has a beautiful place down there on the Swanee River.
And she makes the most of it.
Sure does. And what I like about Louise, she shares her pleasure with other people.
Yeah. Well, now, that's what I've been understanding, that she did that.
She does.
Yeah.
She really does. She's not selfish a bit.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know there's anybody around this whole country like Louise Graham. And all I knew about her was, like I said, I just knew in Sunday school. And, you know, she's got a nice voice, and she speaks out, and it's sort of outgoing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, well, I don't know anybody around here. I just love to see Louise Graham, see what she's like.
You just don't, she don't not live any distance out from Micanopy.
And the first thing I knew, I heard all these things like you told me about her. Nobody knew her. Yes. Nobody knew her. You know, you got things to do.
I haven't either.
Miss Mary.
You better sit down.
Look at that. You don't need to finish that anymore. Why, you can just put anything out there.
Yeah, I do too. I'm going to finish it if I get to where I can spell
able. What do you need to do to it?
I'm going to seal it. And where that screen is, I'm going to put some windows in there.
Yeah. Yes, well, it's pretty nice the way it is. Well, you got so much room out there.
Just old junk.
Yeah.
Junk.
Well, I like junky place, you know.
Won't y'all have a cup of coffee or a glass of tea?
No, let me tell you. I'm just.
Well, thank you, Miss Marge. I'm through. Come on, sit down. Wait for Marge to come. You'll be here in a minute.
Well,
get out there and work and get winning.
Well, that's it. You gotta sort of go through the motion, you know. Just wait. You gotta get
the fuck out. Good thing I'm finished for the day.
How far is it to Hawthorne from here?
About 8 miles.
Oh, is that all?
Mm-hmm. Well, how did Mr. Cook ever get? His wife and kids come by and said that they were going to your place next day to say hey.
Mm-hmm.
Did he have his horses over there at your place?
He puts them over there every now and then. I think he got one or two over there now.
I want some pears.
You got plenty?
You like pears?
Yes, sir.
Not the cooking pears, these are them old sand pears.
Oh, these eating pears?
Eating pears.
Yeah, well, I don't know about them.
He says they're real good.
Yeah? Well, I'd like to try one.
They're not good right, but you can put them in the box. And keep them long enough, they'll just get just as mellow.
Yeah. The only ones I know about are the, them cooking pears.
Do we?
The cooking pears. As I remember pears, you don't want to wait and pull them when they get soft, then it won't last long.
Yeah, but I like a good
mellow pear. Put it in the window.
Looks like it's right.
Uh-huh.
Now we got another storm coming up. That's what they said. They didn't know how large it was going to be. You see, that pear's right.
Move.
Been looking at pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're nice. Yeah. I didn't know I knew anybody was going to have a church wedding, though.
You didn't?
No.
I heard they go around and find a good justice of peace.
Well, I guess they're just as good.
Well, I don't guess that's a real substitute for church wedding. That doesn't pull in your friends.
That's it.
Okay. Marvin, what's gonna happen with all this grass? All this rain?
We're gonna have to let the cows eat it, I reckon. Looks like it, don't
it? It'd be nice if we could, wouldn't it?
But...
And that fast this summer, I was wondering.
Well, I reckon we'll just wait till it quits raining. That's all we can.
That's good. That's fair. I haven't eaten it. What do you call it? The sand?
Sand pan.
We just been in, and we just on the way home from Marvin. Just happened to just loitering on this... Thank you. Homestead house.
Yeah, something like that.
Makes a difference.
Going to Louise Graham all this time, too?
I've been knowing Louise ever since I was young.
Well, we were just talking about her. From all I hear, she's quite a gal.
She is quite a gal.
She got into this politics too, school business and things like that.
Well, I think she dabbles in a little bit of everything that comes along.
And
she was right here with me all when Mr. Guthrie passed away.
Oh, really?
Yes. She really stood by me.
Been down there on the Swanee River, where she got a place?
Yeah.
We've been down there several times. That's home to us now. We've been down there so much.
Her sister was my school teacher.
Sister?
Her sister.
Which one?
Elizabeth.
What do they call her, Elizabeth?
Well...
She's still here, living?
Tell you the truth, I don't know. I think so, she is.
Well, no, they're just friends, y'all. Y'all not related to
them. Oh, no. Just friends.
But she sure is a wonderful gal.
He has a good pass.
No, they'll get soft. Soften right up.
His bulldog?
Yes.
Still got a bad ear?
Well, he just flops them around all the time. Thinking that's where he's
Yeah, it wear me too. Think.
Sure have. Let's see. Miss Dodd was over here. You're talking about the dog.
Yeah.
Miss Dodd was over here. Shortly after we seen you, maybe the next day, maybe. I don't remember.
Get into that swimming pool. I'd like to see that. I haven't been over there since they put in the swimming pool.
Well, we haven't either. She said then that he was building sidewalks around it. So I guess he was going in it in a big way. Sidewalks around it.
Well, that's right. You got to have some protection from all that sand.
Well, I would think so.
Otherwise, you get your pool all gummed up. Just one improvement after another, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it sure is. And the more you improve, the more you have to.
Yeah.
You got any cows?
I got a few. I don't have many. I got more grass than cows right now.
Still got a bunch
of... Well, you know what, George?
Yeah. Well, my neighbors got more, they got plenty, all of them got plenty of grass now.
You know.
Some of them I know this
house. You know, that's usually the trouble when you got plenty,
yeah,
everybody else.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, that's right. So there's no premium.
I'm going to tell you something and you won't believe it. You wouldn't believe it when we get through telling it. We got no cab over yonder. And she had a calf. And when we got up our cows to have them tested, you know, for brucellosis, we had them all shut up here in the field. And you turned her out, turned them out, didn't you? But this old cow went off and she was gone all night. That calf stood out there and hit blood cold.
She went away from her calf.
It bladed. She didn't come home next day. Marvin got his horse and went to hunt the old cow. Found the old cow over yonder on the pond and she had another calf.
She had two calves within 6 months.
That's nice.
One calf was just about 6 months old, a little less than 6 months old.
Yeah.
Well, when I seen him coming up with the old cow, I seen the calf following him, and I said, no, that can't be so. But it was so. And I asked the vet about it. We had to have him out here. He said it was so.
He'd known to have it happening before. Similar.
Well, what happened?
Well, this cow was already with the calf, and then she...
That's what he said.
Went with the bull and got with calf again.
Oh.
I don't see how it could be possible, but that's the way it had to be.
Yeah. That's something.
The calf was a small calf. It grew off to be a pretty nice calf, though. And both of them have a calf.
Yeah. I never heard of anything like that.
I've heard of them having twins or triplets as far as that's concerned. Not that far apart.
Yeah. Well, now, did she take both of them?
Yes. Mm-hmm. She would have, but I wouldn't. I've just weaned the oldest one away from
her. Yeah.
Now, that's it. Not much of that last is interesting. Marvin came back from Hawthorne and we talked a little bit, and at the very end, Ms. Guthrie came out with that story about the cow that had a calf and then brought up another one. But there's a little all along about Louise Graham. And I hadn't noticed before, Louise Graham stuck with her at Mr. Guthrie's last illness. And that's the end of this visit, what's left on the tape with Ms. Guthrie and Marvin on Wednesday the 13th of August, 69, and this is around 2:60, Channel 1 Right. Channel 1 Right around 2:60, the visit with Ms. Guthrie on Wednesday the 13th of August, 69.
Pretty over here.
Come on.
I tell you what.
I'm long enough to cut the grass and do something about the thing. I've been on the go. I've been up in the hospital for 2 weeks.
You been what?
Up yon at the hospital, staying up there. My boy got hurt terrible bad. And they thought they were going to have to amputate both of his legs. But the doctor said yesterday evening that he was so pleased with his progress. Said he was just going to lose a piece of his big toe. Oh, he got hurt bad.
Oh, that is awful. Just awful.
Two big pieces of steel fell on him and just broke him all two pieces up there. Archie at that family. And he had been in the intensive care up until about 3 or 4 days ago.
Uh-huh.
It broke this leg twice. Crushed his hip. And cut a great big hole in him right along there. This leg it broke. and his leg is fine, yeah, about all to the bone.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been in bad, bad shape.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just have the, I get scared when I get under the car or something. I got the wheel jacked up. And you know this Buster over there. He uses the jack. Then he puts himself under
it. You never get yourself under that car and hit just on the jack.
Yeah.
You know, there's been more people killed like that in the colored man out of the ship. Got killed like that.
Hmm.
3 or 4 years ago, one of the jacks.
Yes, I just wake up and I think about getting pinned under there, you see, and nobody there to help me out. That'd be awful.
That would be awful. Don't never do it. It ain't worth it. It's just liable to take your life.
What happened to, I've been thinking about that ever since I was over here. What happened to Bernie? Was that his name, Bernie Bass? Bernie Bass.
He got drunk at a car wreck.
It's late, dark.
About 7 o'clock.
Yeah. And that highway is not too easy. You don't see too well.
But that's just exactly what happened. He didn't stay
home. Well, now, in his time, he had been one of the nice fellows around here, hadn't he?
Yeah.
In his time.
He was the biggest one. To his own self.
Yeah.
His own self was his biggest thing. He just right.
Yeah. And it got worse as he got older.
That's
right. Well, now that's hard to understand, because he was getting along all right. He's making money. I mean, he's making a living. Doesn't bother me. All right.
I just couldn't let his bottle alone. Miss Dodd just called me. And she said the army worms was eating them up.
Hmm. Well, I just went over and checked. I hadn't been over there in so long. I hadn't seen the swimming pool.
So they got an ice.
Yeah. I haven't got the wire around it yet, I understand.
No.
Well, what's going on around your place?
Marvin's over yonder trying to save hay. And it rains on it, and he cuts it, and it rains, and he cuts it.
It's been the dad burner tasty, and I was showing Molly in life.
He's over there cutting some more today.
They just didn't intend for a fella to get anywhere this year, did they?
No, that's right.
I had my cattle tested at home. I was so surprised. You all have yours tested?
I was tested, and it was plumb clean. We had one case here. The other side, we didn't have none. They told us it was all right. Well, they come back here, and they tested twice more. We was clean. And they told us that we wouldn't be bothered with it no more. I sold 5 heifers out of this field last year sometime, and they come back here and they said I had one suspect. I had the test over and they found 3 head of the best cows I had. They took them. The best ones I had. One cow was just, well, she was fixing to drop the calf. When the man come here to test him, Marvin told him, says, I want you to go easy with her. That cow's gonna have calf. He squeezed that old chute up against her. She went right out on under them trees and lost the biggest, nicest calf. I had to get rid of her, and I had to get 2 more heifers. And I got to test again the 14th of this month. Got to test them again.
I never heard of so much testing. They just tested so my place, then they come back and, well, they did it twice.
Well, you had suspects. You had, they found three brucellosis. Well, you have to test again twice till you're clear. And I just don't know, they told us when they first come around, they said if you don't have it, you won't never have no more trouble. But I sure had three, they said, in here.
Marvin's the best at handling animals that have been over there on my place.
He is?
Yeah. He helped, you know, he took off some there one time, floating.
Next Monday, I believe it is when we got to test again.
Yeah.
The 14th.
But I've had some over there. I've had a boy or two come out there with a vet. Why, they acted like they never saw a gentle cow, like they're all wild.
Well, it'll ruin your cow.
The way they treat them.
It'll sure ruin them. And Miss Glisten, now she was the first one over here. She had her cows tested before we ever had to test ours. She just voluntarily had hers. And Marvin naturally fell out with that veterinarian. He told him, he said, brother, he said, if these were my cows, he said, me and you'd have trouble.
Oh, really? Get excited.
He does when people go to being cruel to animals.
So it must have been, been something. Yes. I sure, he really handled my animals.
And you had three cases. Well, I had three cases this last time.
Yeah, but I didn't have as many animals as you had.
Yeah, but here in the field, how many cows you got?
I just got 20.
Well, I believe that how come me to have it, and I talked to the vet about it, and he couldn't understand it. See, they'd all been tested, and they were clear, tagged and everything. And Hogan's bought a bull. And that bull got in our pasture several times, and he finally sold a bull. And the vet said that that's where he got it.
Is that possible?
That's what he said. He said that's the only way to take it. I'll tell you how he told me. I asked him all about it, and he said, it's something just like a venereal disease is what he explained it to me.
I didn't know. I'd like to know.
Well, I didn't know it either. And he said that, now, like, I got a bull, and he goes with somebody else's cows.
Mm-hmm.
And they got it. Well, he brings it to my herd. He says that's the way it gets spread.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that they have a fever. And he said, you can eat the beef and it don't hurt you. You can drink the milk and it don't hurt you. And I said, well, why bother about me? I said, I don't sell no milk and butter. But he said they wanted to clean the steak.
That's right.
They want to get the little man like me out of the juice. That's what they want. I'm scared to sell it from the other country.
They do.
They
come out here and test you again.
Yeah, but if I get some from the other pasture, I'm sure going to have to test again.
That's it.
He says they don't know what they're doing. He says, the vet says they don't know. And they don't know.
I doubt it. They're spending a lot of money.
Well, they're supposed to send me a check for $37 and a half. And I ain't got that.
You haven't got it?
No, did you?
Yeah. State.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't got it.
The O'Connor's office. Well, between the... what kind of bull are you using now?
I got a white Charley.
Well, I thought you said you'd got one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never seen it.
Now, he's here in this pasture here. And I got two Black Angus bulls on the lake, and I got one that I bought from Toby.
Yeah.
I bought one from Toby, I bought one from Zephyr Hill down at Tampa, and I bought one from sealed. But the bulls has all been tested, and they've tested
they
all out
right.
All right.
How's the Charlie working?
Fine. And then one thing about it, he escaped.
And that's hard on your calves?
That's hard on my calves. I lost, I don't know how many calves. And I had the vet out here twice.
What did he say?
He said I had too big a bull. And I asked him what to do about it, get rid of him. He said, no. He said, don't get rid of your bull, keep him.
Even though you're losing calves?
Mm-hmm. But what I'd done, I bred some heifers with him.
Yeah.
And he said that if the cow had ever had a calf, well, I'd been all right.
Oh, I see.
But them heifers was just too small to have them big calves.
I see. You're just going to have to separate them.
Well, I did. I got rid of my heifer. And I got one or two more here I'm going to get rid of.
Well, you know, I enjoyed that visit over here when we stand out there so much.
Louise Graham.
I don't know Louise Graham. I wouldn't recognize if I saw her. I know who she is. I've talked to her on the telephone. I've talked to her in Sunday school class, but I don't recognize her. I was thinking about your name. Quite a character, quite a person.
Yeah, you know, I called her. I was supposed to go over to her house. We were going to Jacksonville to fight.
Oh, really?
And my boy got hurt, and I couldn't go, and I called her up and told her the reason I didn't go. And she said, well, you come on over and stay with me, just like you knew. She said, come on over and stay with me, and I'll cheer you up.
Now, that's something.
She's wonderful person. She'd do anything in the world for anybody.
Wait, how did she get like that? Everybody's not like that.
Well, she's always been that way ever since I know. Mr. Guthrie died, she was right here.
Yeah.
You ought to go see her.
And talk to her, I'd love to. Just drop in sometime, I don't know. I don't know her well, very well. I sort of embarrassed, you know, sort of hesitated.
You know, she's been over yonder to Jerusalem.
Did you see her slide?
Uh-huh. Did you?
No.
Yeah,
I just missed in time.
I've seen them several times. She got Marvin and I to go with her to different places, and Marvin to help her set up her screens, you know. Yeah, I've seen them several times. I really enjoyed it.
How'd you fix the church up? You know, I like those pictures. They're nice.
How did we fix it up?
Uh-huh.
Crevasse out at Gainesville and the florist did that.
Uh-huh.
And I just had two stands and flowers and some palms and them candelarias. They cost us $15 a piece for you.
Uh-huh.
And that's all we did. Of course, Louise and some of the rest of them put flowers in the reception room. And Louise furnished all the dishes and the silverware and tablecloths. And she done that herself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, that was at the church?
At the church at Citrus.
At the church. I never been out there.
Yeah. It's a nice little church. And
Now, you all had to decide on so many things, flowers, clothes, and all. What did you wear?
I wore a light blue embroidered dress, and Marvin wore a light blue suit, I believe it was, and we had to decide on the bridesmaid, the best man, and all
those things.
We had more fun practicing than we did anything else.
Is that right?
Louise was with us, you know. Toby Sharehouse in Gainesville, he was best man, one of the best men. And
yeah.
Curtis, my grandson, he ain't my grandson, I'm his aunt, but he calls me grandma.
Yeah.
Because I raised his daddy.
Yeah.
And, well, we had a big time. And I was scared to death.
I guess so. Yes.
I was scared to death. I'd never seen so many people in my life piling in.
Yeah. Yeah.
But everybody seemed to have a big time. You know, Betty Sherhouse, Mickey Nopey, she was there.
Mm-hmm.
And her boy, he flew down from St. Petersburg, and he was safe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's the one that's safe. No, yeah, Betty Sherhouse's son. What in the world is his name? He's not a Sherhouse. Anyway, he's the one that done the singing.
No, I don't know. Now, is that college
daughter?
Daughter?
Son.
Redheaded?
That's right.
Well, I know him. Yeah.
Ain't his name Kenneth?
Yeah. What's the girl's name? She sings too. Oh, I've heard her sing, and she is just...
She couldn't come because she was going out of town. She lives in Patterson.
Oh, yes. The last time I saw her, she sang in the Methodist Church over there at McNope. And she was just a charm, you know. You just wish she'd just keep on singing.
That's right. She used to go out to our church with the Evanses.
Yeah?
You know, Mr. Evans preached out there for a while.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping you from your...
I ain't got nothing to do.
I haven't got a thing to report. I've just been trying to get something done, and my old baler broke down. First trouble I'd had with it is an old broken down baler when I got it. And it must have been, is that blade that cuts it?
Marvin broke his blade the other day and had to, well, yesterday, day before yesterday, I believe it was, it started cutting and something happened. He had to go to town and get parts and fix it. And we've been going up yonder every time we start to do something, they call us up there to the hospital. James, they've been expecting to amputate both of his legs, and he's been delirious. He's been out.
So you've really been...
I've been up there, him and I.
Been under pressure, and have to do your work.
What little bit we get done. And I stay up there with him sometimes at night, see if he wants somebody to meet him. I stay up there with him all night.
Oh, really?
Maybe he'll... about got over the hump now. But I don't look for him to ever walk again. He's hurt too bad. And if them bones don't knit, they'll amputate too.
Still, okay.
That's right, them bones have got to knit together.
What age is he?
Can he use them?
What age is
he? He's about 42.
Crime. And that happened over at Archie?
Over at Archie, at the Madison Foundry. Huh.
These places are a lot safer than they used to be.
They said that seal had been up there for 22 years and hadn't never moved. But it come tumbling down.
Hmm.
And it caught him.
Hmm. You know, I've had such close calls. This is perfect. You know these big bales of fence posts like they do now? They put a bale around it? I was standing there. Now, you didn't believe this. And I had the hatchet, and I could cut one side of it. I just wanted to get a couple of posts out of there. And then I turned around and cut this side, and you know what happened.
I know. Marvin had about 350 posts out on the black post, and we had no cow body. And he was stacking them posts in that cow body. And I picked up a stick, and
to go up there to stick it down in the hole, you know, to hold them, and something told me not to go up there. And about that time, that whole side of that body gave way, and every one of them posts come tumbling down. If I'd went up there, he'd have got me sure as well. But something just told me not to go up there, and I didn't go.
A fella don't have to travel around the world to get his cut off. You can just do that right home.
You sure can. You can get hurt bad. You can get hurt. You can get killed right at your own home.
You know, one of the things that hurt me the worst, it wasn't serious, but I was out there in the shed, and I got a concrete floor, a little piece there, what I call a workshop. You know, if you're working on sand, you drop something, it's always hard to find. So I put in a little concrete there. And I picked up a piece of plywood. And I was getting ready to go in town, and I sort of harassed. You know, I get that way a lot of times. I'm trying to think of things and can't think of them. I picked that up, and it slipped out of my fingers. You know, it's just a little bit too heavy for my grip. And it must have fell a foot, maybe less, I don't know, right across here. And it didn't hurt me at all. I mean, it didn't even come close to cutting off my toes. But it was the most painful thing. I just went around there on one foot and just cussing and hollering. You see, it couldn't have hurt me too much because I was cussing too much. Oh, shoot. That's too much.
But isn't it disgusting to see a woman drunk and hear her cuss?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even like seeing them smoke.
I don't either.
You know what? Some of the women are the biggest smokers you get. They just...
Did you know one thing? You know that this generation is gone.
It's gone.
It's gone. Yeah. It's gone to the dogs. It's worse than dogs. And you know, if you want to see something, go up yonder and sit in that hospital at night and just watch both sides of the races.
Oh.
That's ridiculous. I'm telling you, the white people is finished. They surely are. If time holds out a few more years, we everyone gonna be looking for me. Mr. So and so, Mrs. So and so, them doctors and them nigga gals. Or just go up there and sit down and just look. Just look at night.
And when they're working with the state or the government, they really ain't taking it. You haven't broke the corn yet?
Got it all broke. I think Marvin said.
Oh, yeah.
But 20 rows back over on this side.
You got a place to put it.
Yeah.
Oh, you really got room. What? I hadn't seen that your truck there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's my truck. We've had it all the time.
Well, that looks like a brand new truck.
Well, it was when we bought it. I got it last January.
Yeah. Well, that's just beautiful.
It has a trial purpose.
Yeah, that's pretty enough to go to meeting
then. It rides. We go to church in it. We go everywhere we go. To heck, I'm not going to bother about buying a car. I'm not able to buy a car. I need a house, and I can't get a car. He was telling us the other night that he saw you. He says, you know, I like Mr. Miles. But I think a lot of him.
Well, you know, he is one of the finest talkers, most entertaining, that I have run across.
Well, they tell me that he's a good man.
Well, Well, that'd be unusual. I hope he is.
They say he is, and he told Marvin about how he used to chip turpentine boxes.
Yeah.
And he told us that he'd come to Frankfort and asked for a job, and he didn't get it. And he said, no, I'm glad. He said, Cerns has done me a favor. Yeah, everybody says he, and I'll tell you one thing, if he can do anything for you, he'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he just seems like he just don't think there's anything like Marvin. He just,
oh.
He really likes Marvin.
Yeah.
He's always wanting Marvin to help him do something.
Well, and he was there at Citra.
That's right.
A long time. I didn't know him over there. After he moved over here, that's the first time, you know. And he passed by Redwood's door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I've been to Sunday school down there.
Someone told me Sir Dirksen died.
Buried.
Now that was a man I liked to hear talk. When he said something, he said. I didn't one of our friends last Sunday night just a week ago. He just was found dead in the living room. He had a bad heart. And the television was a going. Dick Wilkerson.
I heard about that. Oh, I was sad about that. You know, I got acquainted with him. That somebody that melons over.
We always thought lots of Dick.
Oh, I was sad about that. I want you and Marvin to come over. I sit back off with the drink and talk about it. They're nice. Just nice things. And you owe us visiting. How you see, I don't visit you. I just drop in every night.
Well, we will, but don't wait on us. You and her come over.
Well, I want to sort of lure you over there, just so you get used to coming.
Well,
and drop in
I couldn't tell you when it'd be. My boy, you know,
yeah,
I have to stay pretty close to the phone. They call me and let me know how he's rested at night,
and
how he's getting along.
Yeah.
I don't never know what minute I might have to. Well, you and her could ride over and visit with us. We ain't got anything but a shack, but
you got one of the nicest shacks. You know, the only difference between you and me, I'd be just perfectly satisfied with what you got. It's just beautiful in there to me. The whole shebang. I wouldn't even go up there in the front because you got it too nice.
Nah.
I'd have to put on my son's clothes.
But there's one thing about it, what I got. It cost me a lot of money, and I don't owe nobody a dime.
That's hard to believe.
That's the truth. I don't owe nobody a dime.
You mean you sitting there right now with all this operation going on out here, and you don't owe?
I don't owe
nothing.
Nobody one dime. I can go in there and go to sleep, and that ain't on my conscience.
Well, now, these boys up here where you buy your implements, do they help you out, keep you running?
You mean the Ford people?
Yeah.
Heck no. They ain't even sent me a thank you note. Thanking me for paying for the hay baler and hay rake. But that's all right, I got my receipt.
Well, now, I forget the boy's name.
Paget?
Paget.
Paget. No, he charged me just as much for anything if I was going there to buy it as he would anybody else.
Well, if anything gets wrong with it, they won't help you out on it?
Heck no. No.
Got to do it yourself.
Have you got to do it
yourself. And the other boy up there, late.
I don't know any of them but him. But Paget.
Layman. I knew Layman back up at Latchway. Mm-hmm. He was working with Phillips up there. And I sort of just kept pressing.
No.
I tried to buy a tractor with him. But you see, I didn't need it.
Go to Oshkosh. Now on, whenever I have to have any farm equipment, I'm going down there.
Yeah.
have old enough in it. I might drop him there and buy some baler twine or something like that before he comes to farm equipment or anything. I'll go to the cabin. And they, I don't know.
Expedition. Find out right on up there.
I had my teeth pulled. They messed my mouth up. They went in and they cut all the meat off of my gums and ground down my jawbone and scraped it. And they, I had a pinched nerve and I like to lose my mind. I just tell you, I like to run everybody I seen crazy and I couldn't get no relief. And I went in there to Dr. Dale. He is an x-ray man.
Yeah.
And I asked him, I said, Dr. Dale, can't you take an x-ray of me and find out my trouble? And he jumped on me and bawled me out. Talked to me like I was a dog. Then give me an appointment to come back, and it cost me $10. And he didn't do me no good, and I went down to Ocala to Dr. Gibney. And I was, and my tongue swelled and it busted open on the side. I couldn't eat. And oh, I just hurt so bad. And you could ask me, where do you hurt? Well, maybe I would just be dying up there. And before I could tell you, it'd be down under here or there or somewhere else. And I went down there and Dr. Gibney said, would you go down to the hospital and have an x-ray made? I said, I'd do anything in the world if you'll just give me some relief. And I went down there and it was late and they x-rayed me till about 8:30 that night. And when they got through, they told me, said, you go on back down to Dr. Gibney's now and he's gonna help you. And I said, well, Dr. Gibney's not there. He's done gone. No, waiting on you. So I went down there and he and the nurse was down there waiting on me. And Dr. Gibney straightened me out. They said it's a pinched nerve.
And that's where you found out what it was, down there.
Where I found it out. And that's the man that cured me.
And after you found it, it wasn't, you know, no trouble to cure it.
Not a bit in the world. He said that it would take a long time and I would have to go back and do a lot of suffering. And he went up in there and punctured me in my head. He gave me 4 punctures at the time. And when he done that the second time, he hit just like to kill me. He had to give me something to take. And I'd talk all kind of talk and all. But I finally got over it. He done bought me. I couldn't even wear my plate.
Your medicine now and keep healthy?
No, I don't take no medicine.
Don't take none at all?
No. Not until I have to. I don't take a dose of medicine unless I
have to. Well, don't you have? You told me one time you had high blood.
Uh-huh. Well, when it bothers me, I run down there to it.
But unless it bothers you, you don't do
no,
that?
No, I don't.
Well, I'm no doctor, but I don't think that's right.
You don't?
I think once a fella gets high blood, he got to take some all the time. Am I wrong?
Well, you might. But I'm not taking anything.
Yeah.
I just go on. And then when I get the feeling bad, I go down there. Prescription, I go get my blood pressure medicine and I take it and I get all right. He never did put me on a diet or anything. All he told me to do is not to get on the tractor. Dab the hot sun. And I don't do that. I drive the tractor. I break corn.
Well, that's the cutest part right at the end. She not taking any medicine. He said not ride the tractor in the sun. She rides the tractor and she breaks corn. And this is around 900, Channel 1. It's Thursday the 11th of September, 69. And this is the end of the visit with Mrs. Guthrie. Sitting on her stoop, beautiful first day of fall almost, the air out of the north, but it's still right sweaty. Thursday, the 11th of September, 69, this is about 900 or better, Channel 1 right, the end of the visit with Ms. Guthrie, and I went on then to visit with Shirley a little while, but the tape over there wasn't good.
I do a lot of desk work.
And I had this prostate trouble. And that gland is right there where you sit.
Mm-hmm.
So now I stand up and I work.
Well, I drink an awful lot of honey. I take lemon juice and honey
together.
Yeah. And they tell me that that is good for high blood pressure, and they tell me that it's good for rheumatism, almost anything.
Well, you just got your own remedy.
So I eat honey, I take honey and lemon juice. And every once in a while, I don't do it very often, but every once in a while I take a garlic peel. Now they say that's good.
A garlic peel.
I have a friend in Tampa, and she can go to the food store and see if she can send them to me. Garlic. Just take a garlic capsule, and they say that that is one of the best things you can do for high blood pressure. Of course, it is going to hit me again sometime, I know, but when it does, then I'll go.
You know when it hits you?
Yeah.
You can feel it coming on. And you won't care. I just did it.
Oh, watch your watch.
Well, I'm just saying.